Hello, hello, and welcome to another chapter of From the Other Side of the Fence podcast with your host, the undisputed fighting champion of all things From the Other Side of the Fence, me, Mr. Daniel Boyer. What a show we've got lined up for you today, guys. It's chapter 5. Some of you may have noticed I've actually had a two-week break. What's going on with my voice there? Two-week break. I've actually decided that I'm gonna turn this from a weekly podcast into kind of like a fortnightly podcast, just because really, I mean, the whole basis of the podcast is moaning, groaning, and trying to enlighten over dealing with rare diseases from all aspects, and I don't think we need to do it every week now, do we? So it's going to continue to run every fortnight. There will be a new chapter released from this point onwards. So this is chapter 5. So let's just do a quick recap, shall we, of what we went over in chapter 4, which was entitled Friendships. Now that was a difficult one to go through, and I actually reshot that chapter quite a few times. So at first I kind of like poured all of my inner emotions out into it, and then when I listened back to it, I was like, I'm not too happy with that. It sounds like I'm just kind of mourning or having snipes at people, and that's not really what I want to achieve by doing these podcasts. I want to, as you say, lift people up, enlighten them, educate, and raise awareness of the issues that, you know, come part and parcel of living with a rare disease or supporting someone with a rare disease, and obviously this case it's Cushing's disease. So yeah, it took me a few reshoots to actually get the final product on that one. Thank you ever so much for everyone that's continued to listen and continuing to support the page over on Instagram. That's the only platform I'm actually on. I don't do Facebook or Twitter. It's all just on Instagram. So if you're listening to this for the first time and didn't know, you can find me on Instagram under Daniel Boyer Podcast. It's DanielBoyar Podcast. And that's where you can find me sharing pictures and enlightening quotes to try and get you through your week, as well as just, you know, giving more insight into the stories that I can tell relating to the situation I'm in. So that's just a small recap of what we discussed 2 weeks ago. I mean, today's chapter is chapter 5. We're actually going to be talking today about tough times. That's quite a general statement, tough times. But I want to hone in on the old saying of lightning doesn't strike twice. When it comes to health issues, it can strike twice, it can strike 3 times, 4 times, 6 times, 20 times, 25 times. And it's really about what you have to, you know, prepare yourself, how you prepare yourself, should I say, for when it does eventually come back, and how to, you know, get right into that mindset of being able to cope. For those that have listened and that are listening from a close family and friends perspective, they obviously know that I have mentioned that my wife, unfortunately, has been diagnosed with Cushing's disease for a second time. So, you know, we only dealt with this back in May 2017 when she had the surgery, and we thought, yes, hallelujah, it's over, the journey ends in terms of Cushing's. We close that chapter and it's finished. Didn't realise there were going to be a sequel. And that's what we're going to be addressing today, is tough times. So let's begin, shall we, with that cheeky little jingle, and then we'll dive right in. This is chapter 5. Tough times, baby, they come to us all, sure as the ticking on the clock on the wall. Now that's just a little lyric, a few little lyrics there from a song that I absolutely adore. It's Bruce Springsteen's Waiting on a Sunny Day. And the reason I've just quoted that little snippet there is because it's synonymous with what everyone goes through They say everyone will go through a tough time at a part in their life. And that is just a broad statement. As I said, when I've titled this chapter, Tough Times, is a very generic and broad statement. It can relate to so many different issues. So everyone can say, hand on heart, they've been through a tough time. You know, when it comes to your health, though, them tough times are magnified. You start looking at, you know, your everyday life in a different perspective. You start thinking about things you never dreamed of even thinking about. You know, I can only really relate again to my situation, but with being only 27, nearly 28 in February, but you know, 27, and I'm having to think now about the long-term impacts of what the disease is going to do to my life, to my wife in her later years, if she's lucky enough to get that way, that far. And that's stuff you wouldn't really ever just sit there and think about, would you? Unless you're going through a significant health journey. And that's one thing that I'm finding difficult currently, is thinking that, you know, my wife and I unfortunately found out back in October this year that the Cushing's disease has returned. She's relapsed. Reoccurrence has occurred, and unfortunately the Cushing's disease is much more aggressive than it was previously. It's having a lot more detrimental and debilitating effects on her mental state as well as a physical state. And it's a worry because my wife's been on this journey for 7 years. I've been a passenger for 5 of those. And it just seems like we're never going to get off this ride almost. It's just constantly going round and round. And we've had a few appointments. We've had all the tests done now. We're waiting, apparently, on the urgent surgery list to correct the issue. Now, they've told us that they won't be able to perform brain surgery again due to the risk associated with going back up there. They said the reason why they won't do it is the tumour she had previously was tucked into a corner of the brain, just on the gland that was then touching the brain wall, I believe. I'm not a doctor, so I can't name every single bit. I'm just speaking generically here. And they believe it's too dangerous to go back up that way and operate that way. It could kill her. So how do we cure Cushing's disease then if we're not, you know, going to do it surgically? Oh, we can do it surgically. It involves removing the adrenal glands. Now, adrenal glands, some of you, again, I'm sure I've heard of that one before, adrenal glands. Oh, yeah, of course, adrenaline. That's where we produce our adrenaline. But it's also where the body produces other hormones as well, like your salt. Levels are controlled by your adrenal glands as well as your cortisol levels, which obviously, as we know, if you've been listening, is what produces Cushing's disease if there's too much in the body. Or if there's too little, Addison's for those as well. Again, that I've had, you know, bat-like hearing and heard me mention Addison's. That's unfortunately, the other disease you pick up when you get rid of Cushing's in most cases. So removing them, we've been told now that there will be a greater risk to my wife's life going forward. This surgery we're having to prepare for now, currently as I'm sat here talking to you, it's not like I to put it in context, I had my knee rebuilt a couple of years ago. It was injured when I was dancing too provocatively, apparently, in a club, and someone thought I was coming onto them. They was from the same sex, and when realised I wasn't batting for that team, decided to kick me from behind and break my leg. Can you believe that? I mean, God, it'd have been easy if I just slept with him, wouldn't it? You know, I wouldn't have had my leg broke. But anyway, that's a different story. My mates rib me for that all the time. But you know, I had to have my leg rebuilt. In the meantime, yes, I was struggling. I was on crutches. I couldn't do a lot of things. However, I still had my health as far as I'm concerned. It was just my leg that was stopping me from, you know, walking and stuff like that. So that's a type of operation where you can kind of like prepare yourself thinking, oh, well, yeah, I'm fine absolutely until it happens and then I'm going to be fine after it. Yeah, it's going to work for a few weeks or whatever. And you have your rehabilitation, but then you kind of get on with it, don't you? What we're preparing for now is totally different. This operation that she's about to go through isn't a quick fix like that. She's not currently well now like I was before my op, where I was absolutely fine. She's struggling absolutely every single day. She's in a lot of pain constantly. And she's suffering, which to see a loved one suffering like the way she is currently, it's heartbreaking. And knowing that I can't do anything to help at this minute in time is beyond infuriating. I can't even put into words the way I'm currently feeling right now, knowing there is nothing I can do. I feel like Simba in Lion King when he's watching Mufasa slide off that cliff. I mean, God, I'm not going to relive that because I don't want to be crying through this podcast. But that's what I feel like. I feel like I'm just watching a slip further and further down that cliff and I'm reaching out and I can't do anything at this minute in time. And it just makes me feel so empty and so helpless and so small. Because apart from that, I mean, in this whole journey we've been going on together, I've had to be in sole control of everything. So I'm kind of used to that. I'm kind of used to being a dominant person, a dominant figure in life, whether that's been work or, you know, my home life, having to do that. And when you can't do that, as I say, I just feel like a small little lion sat watching the drama unfold in front of me. And it's numbing, it's painful, and it's upsetting. And knowing that this operation that she's got coming up isn't going to be to solve the actual issue. What it's going to solve that she will never have Cushing's again. But it's the fact that taking out healthy organs that you need to survive. So she's going to have a risk to her life for the rest of her life because she'll be adrenal insufficient. We're having no adrenal glands. She'll have to be on all sorts of different medication. So we've now got to think about managing our lives for the rest of our lives from this point onwards. And that's what I'm talking about when we're saying, you know, you don't think about certain things. Well, constantly going through my head now is, well, she gets poorly, I'm at work and she can't inject herself with the emergency tablets. What if the ambulance staff don't treat her properly? If there was ever anything to happen? What if we're on holiday and we lose the medication? What if, you know, because the amount of time it's gone, that heart rate's been uncontrolled, that it decreases her life in the later years. And these are all stuff now we've got to think. We've already been told that having your adrenal glands can actually reduce your life expectancy by 20 years. And I mean, I'm a firm believer. I feel like we're all, this is my opinion, obviously, but I feel like we're all clocks. We're all wound up clocks. Everyone's clock eventually comes to an end. Everyone dies, baby, that's a fact. Getting another Bruce Springsteen quote from Atlantic City, great song. But it is the truth, isn't it? Everyone does. We're only here once, and everyone has a time. But when you're told you could lose time, that starts making you think. I personally never think I would be, you know, I'd be more than happy to live till old age, but if my time isn't then, my time isn't. You can't control that. Again, I've mentioned it in previous podcasts about control. That's something we are not in control of. We're not in control of our bodies. You know, we are wound to a certain time and we will then, you know, unfortunately perish, so to speak. And this is the fragility of like diseases and stuff that can affect our makeup, is that we just aren't in control. And when you are told that now you could lose up to 20 years, you start thinking, well, hold on. What if my clock only wound up to 60? That means it's now 40. I'm 26. And I'm obviously 27. My wife's 26. That's 14 years away. And that's the haunting, daunting prospect now we're facing with. And it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. There'll be people out there that have unfortunately lost their partners to diseases and illnesses. And my heart absolutely breaks for them because I'm currently fighting them emotions of preparing for something like that. You know, on the day of her surgery back in May 2017, I made peace with the fact I wasn't going to see my wife again. And it was the most upsetting and horrible experience I've ever encountered in my life. We went down to that surgery that day. She got prepared into all the gowns and stuff, and the surgeon came back in. And he said to us, he was like, you know, you do realise, obviously, the risks of this surgery. I've told you before, but I need to, you know, relay this information back to you. Obviously, unfortunately, there is only a 30% chance you'll make it through this surgery. There's an even higher chance you'll make it through this surgery, but not intact of how you are now, that you may have paralysis, you know, you might have memory loss, etc. These are all common side effects due to the nature and dangerous, hazardous way that the surgery is conducted. And I remember just sitting there when my wife was sat there in a gown and slippers. And I just felt like I wasn't even in my own body. I felt like I was just locked in my mind. And I was fighting these demons because I was looking at her there, sat there so helpless. And you could just tell that she was just wanting to get better, and she was so frightened and so scared. And when I was sat across from her, I couldn't comprehend the situation in front of me. And I kind of looked at her one last time before she was wheeled down. And I said to myself, that's the last time I'm going to see my wife again. That's the last time I'll ever see her. Have I done everything I could in that time? Then why is our time now? And it's now something I went away from the hospital and I just cried. I cried for a good couple of hours, 2 hours at tops. I cried and just cried and cried. I tried listening to music to try and help, you know, give me some respite from the situation I was in. And there was a song that did come on. It was, again, I've already mentioned him twice already in this podcast, but it was Bruce Springsteen. It was Lucky Town. For those that are Springsteen fans, it was the MTV Live Unplugged version, which he played without the E Street Band back in the early 90s, I think it was. And that came on. And whilst the guitar solo was, you know, like just proper going for it, making its talk, making it scream, and like the delightful sounds they do, I just lost myself. I was just like, that's it. She's gone. I've not seen her again. I'm sat in my house. I'm looking at everything that reminded me of her. And then the phone rang, and it was the surgeon saying, yep, she's made it through, you can come back down and see her. And I was like, oh my God, what? I could not believe it. But funnily enough, that song is where, as you say, it was one of the first song I'd listened to after making peace with the fact that I thought I'd never going to see my wife again. And funnily enough, it's the first song my wife put on in her bedroom when she came back around to cheer herself up. So we both have a different meaning now attached to that song, a different memory that's engraved into that song. Mine is filled with the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life, whilst my wife's is full of the best jubilation she's ever felt in her life. And it's incredible, isn't it, that one, well, in this case, a song can do that for, they have two different meanings for the same people, so to speak. And this is what I'm talking about, tough times, because, I mean, I'm trying to hold myself together here as I kind of talk. This podcast is kind of one of my outlets as well. I don't have the best support in the world from family. As I say, I've mentioned my friendships in the past. I do have some loving family members that they know who they are, but I also have a lot that won't even give us the time of day. So this podcast is kind of like my outlet. And when I'm talking about tough times, as I said, this is one of the toughest times I've ever had to endure. As is my wife, and I constantly just think, you know, she's getting battered down by these complications and, you know, symptoms that affect her, as well as, you know, the after effects of what's going to happen. And I just think, how on earth do these people keep going? And my hat really does come off to everyone who is fighting with any sort of illness, especially you ones that change your life and put your life in danger. My hat absolutely goes off to you in the way that you overlook adversity. You fight every single day. You paint on your masks. It's just incredible. And I mean, from my side of the fence, there's sometimes it's easy just to think, when these tough times come, why am I here? These aren't my tough times. They're someone else's. I'm not the one who's got the illness. And they're natural thoughts, and let's have a look at that, shall we? Let's have a look at that side of the fence. The natural thoughts that will always be in your mind. You know, we talk to our mind more than we talk to anyone else. We talk to ourselves, and it is without question that thoughts, whether that come up in, you know, heightened situations or emotional situations, or if you're just feeling like this is it, I want it all to end, these thoughts do come into your head, and it's kind of, I want to talk about them as well as how we can try and overcome that. So let's have a look into that, shall we? So tough times then, when it comes to your own head, your own mental mind, your own mental state. As I just said then, we talk to ourselves more than we talk to anyone else. We're constantly with our thoughts. And sometimes these thoughts can be misleading. They can be dangerous. They can be tricky. And that's what we need to kind of address, is the thoughts that do go through your head. It's only natural. In any given situation, you'll process information in different ways. And then you'll hopefully come to a logical conclusion of how you want to deal with said situation. If you're under so much stress, if you're under so much, you know, sorrow, pain, and tough times, it gets more difficult to make these logical decisions. I mean, we only have to look how it is in the news, in the media at the minute with mental health. You only have to look at the insane figures that go to the amount of people losing their lives with mental health issues. And this is that's effectively, a lot of that is just, as I say, either due to depression, anxiety, that they can't, you know, get themselves out of these ruts. The thoughts are taking over. And in the situations like I myself are in, and other people out there who are living in terms of a support network, We'll get different thoughts that will creep into our head on different days or different weeks or different years even. And they won't always be kind thoughts. They won't always be, you know, life is a box of chocolates, so to speak, keep on going. Sometimes our body and our head and our thoughts will just think, do you know what? Let's just pack it in now. Let's throw in this towel. This fight isn't ours. And that sounds ruthless, doesn't it? It sounds brutal. It sounds like incomprehensible for me to be sitting here saying that after everything I've been doing in the past few weeks about trying to build up that. However, as I said, this podcast is aimed at looking at it from all aspects. And yes, these thoughts do come into your head. There has been times, there has been more than one occasion where I've sat here after I mean, numerous situations, whether it's been a case of me and Amy's had a small tiff. We never really ever argue. Unfortunately, with Amy's home, which again, I don't know how she does it. It's absolutely insane. You know, to say she has all these stress hormones raging through her body, raging war on her, and she still continues to almost try and live a normal life in the fact that we just do not ever fight or argue. But when we do, it generally is normally associated with her health. Or she'll had a moment and then lashed out. And at first, I used to lash out back because, again, this is all going back to me not understanding right at the beginning of, well, what's going on? I've touched about that in the past. Obviously, I had to learn how to deal with a Cushing's disease. I had to learn to deal with the mental and physical side of illnesses and the complications it brings. I had to learn how to do that. So now I know how to react in a way that I hope isn't going to make the situation worse. So in the past, as I say, I used to bite, or I would bite back if she said something that would upset or anger me. I would bite straight back. And that's just a natural reaction, isn't it? You know, we all like to think, oh, walk away, or dialogue is better than violence. Not that there's been violence in this relationship, but you know what I mean, you know. And it's one of them. It's learning to, you know, rise above that so that the situations don't escalate. And I had to do all of that. And in some ways, sometimes in different situations, I was more over the top than needed to be, just probably because I suppressed a lot of, you know, the emotions that went alongside a lot of these situations. But when it comes to these tiffs or arguments or whatever it is, or it's a case of she's poorly again, we've had to cancel other plans, or we haven't been able to go on holiday because she's ill, or I've had to take time off work to look after her, it can be very easy to sit there when you get a minute to yourself and think, I don't need this. This has been going on too long now. How long is this going to go on for? I didn't sign up for this. And that they are, unfortunately, natural thoughts that will creep into your mind. Now, what I would like to say is, never acted upon any of these thoughts. And it is not wrong for these thoughts to be entering your head. Everyone, I am sure, will have gone through a stage in that their lives with connected to a rare disease, or connected to looking after someone where they thought, do you know what, I don't need this, I should be doing something else, I should be doing whatever it is or you want to do and you can't because you feel restrained in this. However, it's how you overcome that. I would not chastise anyone for having them thoughts, and I don't think it makes you a bad person for thinking those thoughts. It's a natural process. And again, to say the word again, however, it's how you overcome them. That's what makes you the person. That's what makes you, you know, the strong, supporting figure for your partners, for your loved ones, for your friends, for your family, is if you can overcome them, like, tricky and dangerous thoughts through these tough times. And you say, it could be very, very easy for me to throw in the towel. It'd be very easy for anyone to throw in the towel if they don't want to deal with the situation. I get told countless, countless times, and it almost frustrates me. Get told, oh, I could never do that. Oh, I'm so glad my partner's, you know, not got what Amy's got. Or how did you even like meet her when she was poorly? I would have ran. And stuff like that just angers me. It's just like, yeah, so you aren't wanting to give that person a chance because what, you feel like they're a burden to you? It's not about that, is it? No one should be a burden or be made to feel like a burden, because that's just totally ridiculous. As I said, we are fragile beings and we all should be there to support one another. In your darkest days, you'd want someone to be there to support you, whether that be a family member, friend, colleague or whatever. You'd want someone to, you know, help you out. So why should that be any different when it comes to relationships? And it's one thing that does, as I say, really, really anger me when people do that, like I'm doing some sort of service to her, like I'm a charity case for her, or I'm just making a life better. It's not about that. You know, I fell in love with this woman, with her disease and with without a disease. You know, unfortunately, at the time, she had the disease. I had a stuff on level. If she didn't have the disease, it doesn't make a difference. The illness is there. It doesn't define her. It doesn't define our lives. Yes, it affects every single day, but it doesn't define us. And it's about accepting that and overcoming those tough times. And once you kind of start putting the wheels in motion to thinking, right, well, I'm not going to let it defeat me. I'm not going to let these tough times bring me down. I'm not going to let it completely define me. And accepting that, yes, one day, if you do something, like go out or go, you know, to a restaurant or on a night out or, you know, a theme park or a holiday, the next day you're probably going to be in agony. And it's about outweighing that situation so you can say, yeah, well, do you know what? Yesterday I did have a really good day. I had an absolutely terrific day. Today I need to rest. I need to recharge. Just think of yourself almost like a phone, like a mobile phone. Use it all day and then it dies, doesn't it? You can't use it anymore unless you recharge it. Recharge yourself after these situations. Don't let it all topple up inside you. These tough times, you can manage them with the correct, as I say, procedures in place to make your lives easier. My wife constantly beats herself up because she can't do stuff. Her body won't allow it, or she doesn't feel like doing it today. Her mental state's not in the right place. And I'll just say to her, Amy, have you got out of bed today? Have you got dressed? Have you come downstairs? Have you gone and seen your grandparents today? Or have you gone and seen your mum? And she'll answer, well, yeah, I have. I was like, well, take pride in that. Take absolute pride in that. Because it's very easy. No one would ever look at you in any other way, but it'd be very easy for you just to stay in bed all day and then wish the day away. Because these tough times do that to you, as you say. When these thoughts start getting into your head, that's your natural reaction, isn't it? To retreat. And then you start bringing yourself down because you're not doing stuff. But take pride instead of thinking, oh, I need to go, you know, shopping or whatever, away for a weekend, or I've let some mates down because I ain't gone out with them tonight because I'm not feeling well. Take pride in something else. And then, so have you got out of bed today? Have you walked around the house? Have you got dressed? Switch your mindset. And honestly, it will do absolute wonders to the way you start looking at the different perspectives and how it will make you feel inside. Every day is a challenge, and every day can be a tough time. And there's no overnight fix to the situation. You know, this does take weeks, it takes months. In my case, it's taken years to be able to, as I say, overcome a lot of these tough times. And I mean, I'm going through them right now, as is my wife. And every day, you know, I can wake up some days, gone 11 o'clock in the morning, and think, oh my God, as if I've slept until this time, and my body is just literally telling me it needs to rest, it needs to recharge. And I think that's the key point I'm trying to make here, is about taking some me time from all this, evaluating your situations, and trying just to wrestle back a little bit of that control and just taking a little bit of pride in the smaller actions that used to just be mundane things that you would never cheer and hurrah about. But if you do that, honestly, it's just, it can switch, as say, your overall feelings of happiness from sadness to happiness, and it can make a difference to how you project yourself and how you conduct yourself. So we've obviously addressed today tough times, and I've dived into a little further of the tough times that me and my wife are currently experiencing right now, having to relive an ordeal that we thought was over. I mentioned right at the beginning of the podcast, I was addressing that old cliche of when lightning strikes twice in the same place. Obviously, it's not meant to happen, but in health situations, it can, and it can strike over and over and over again. And unfortunately, you don't get any better prepared to deal with it. That was one of my first thoughts, really, was when we started getting tested again. We're like, well, we've been through this before. We know what to expect. We know we can beat it. It doesn't quite work like that, though, in reality. It kind of flips you upside down, jumbles you about, then spits you back out again. And you kind of think, was that just like a crazy wild dream? Are we actually back in this? Are we reliving that same nightmare again? You can't prepare for it to come back, unfortunately, because you almost feel like you've been robbed or had it stolen from you, that little bit of bliss that was in between that period where you fought for what that instance, we're getting better, we're on the road to recovery. And I've mentioned before on previous podcast about that endless road where you feel like it's never ending. And I suppose we're back on that road again now. And that's what you can't prepare for. Yes, you may have gone through that horrendous journey, but it doesn't make it easier saying, oh, we'll do that again. One way I try to put it in analogy to my wife is I kind of tell her like, well, you're the champion of Cushing's disease. Unfortunately, he just wants to keep having fights where you keep having to defend your title against it. Like a boxer, fortunately, we can't throw the towel in this case. You've got to fight. There's no other alternative. You have to push through it and you have to go another 12 rounds with it again. But I don't want to do all that training camp again. I don't want to have to prepare myself. I don't want to have to fight it and go to battle with it in terms of surgery and then have to deal with the effects after it. But unfortunately, just like in a boxing match, you have to do the training camp, then you have to do the fight, and then you have to live with the repercussions of the aftermath of the fight. And people who have reoccurrences of rare diseases and life-threatening diseases, it doesn't get any better. You just want to retire. You just want to have your time now. You feel like you've done your part. You've paid your dues. It's your time now. You don't deserve this. And that is the nail on the head. No, you don't deserve this. Unfortunately, it's just one of them life stumbling blocks that you have to overcome. And we will overcome if we can all do it together. I mean, if we can support one another. If we can overcome these situations, there is really nothing to stop us. And, you know, tough times, they will come back, even if it's just a case of a bad day at work. There'll always be tough times ahead. But when they're related to, as you say, your health, and you start thinking about your mortality, that's when it can be a crushing boulder that almost weighs you down. But, you know, with the power of positivity and the power of taking back little snippets of control, it's amazing what we can endure and what we can get through and what we can achieve. And really the tips I would like to give to you all today is just to persevere. It's very easy again for me to say that, but I've been through that journey. I've had to accept losing my wife. Thankfully, at this minute in time, she's still here, but I'm having to go through that again. I don't want to. My wife doesn't want to go through it, but we have to. And if you can try and take as little positive nuggets as there is possible, even though there looks like there is nothing, searching for a needle in a haystack, so to speak. But if you can just try and remain positive, even if it's just making plans that might not happen, or future plans of what you want to do when you've achieved it, or making a small bucket list, or just doing anything that makes you happy. Even if it's just, you know, well, tonight I don't want to cook, I'm going to have a take, I'm going to treat myself. Treat yourself to the little things in life. Make yourself happy in any way that you can possible. We're all not gifted, as I say, in terms of being multimillionaires where we don't have to worry about the responsibilities of life. But if you can indulge in certain little things to try and help your mental state and your mindset, then it will go a long way to helping your body heal as well. I'd just like to, again, thank everyone for listening. One thing I would like to do in future sessions, as I say, I have mentioned that I've got some upcoming guests on the show. Due to obviously the circumstances I find myself in at the moment, it's not looking likely that that's going to now before Christmas. It'll be probably after Christmas into the new year when I finally get the guests on the show that I want to speak to and them tell their sides of the story. But one thing I would like to maybe do in future podcasts is have like a little Q&A. Now, by Q&A, I mean for people to send me questions or their stories or any tips or advice they can give so I can relay it to you listeners. So if anyone would like to get in touch with me in the meantime, just to share, as I say, some of them thoughts with me, then please do get in contact. As I say, my Instagram page, I mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, is Daniel Boyer, which is DanielBoyer podcast. And you can direct message me on there or leave comments onto pictures. And I will include, I'd love to hear from other people who have gone through similar journeys, whether that's related to any sort of illness or any sort of, you know, life experience. Please do get in contact, and, you know, solidarity is in numbers. If we can all help each other, we'll become stronger as a unit. It's that all that aspect of unity, isn't it? And I know for a fact from the people that have already reached out, it doesn't give me any great pleasure knowing that I am helping some of these people deal with the aspects, particularly with Cushing's, but the aspects of supporting others who are going through tough times. So that really brings a close to the end of this chapter, chapter 5. As I say, again, massive thank you to absolutely everyone that has listened and continues to tune in each week. It really does mean the world to me. And let's change the world together, guys, eh? Let's all love each other and be kind and love yourselves. And just to top it off, as I say, I'd sign it off on my Instagram all the time, but just keep on fighting, amigos. That's all we can do is keep on fighting. I know you want to throw in the towel, but honestly, it's not worth it. There is people around you that will love you. There's people out there that will support you. It's just about reaching out to those, and we'll all get through this together. Until next time, guys, I will see you all then. Ciao.